The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Ibrahim Kwarten
and George Asikri.
In the headlines, effective partnership between security agencies to check maritime insecurity in West Africa advocated. Defense Minister hails performance of rural banks. Three Al Jazeera journalists arrested in Cairo, Egypt. And world famous Formula One champion Michael Schumacher in critical condition after skiing accident. But first, the summary with George Asikri.
Security agencies in West Africa have been asked to step up intelligence gathering to mitigate the effect of rising maritime insecurity. A conflict management and peace building expert, Emmanuel Bombandi, who stated this in an interview with Radio Ghana, said the fact that threats of insecurity are prevalent in neighboring countries requires stronger collaboration. The Minister of Defense, Mark Oyongo, says excellent performance by rural banks is a clear reflection of the quick economic recovery the country is experiencing. Speaking at the 23rd annual general meeting of the Nara Rural Bank in Navrungu, Mr. Oyongo said the performance of the bank in 2012 was no mean achievement and advised a commercial entity to be wary of cyber crimes in order to protect the trust of customers and shareholders. Three Al Jazeera journalists have been arrested in Cairo, Egypt, for allegedly holding illegal meeting with the banned Muslim Brotherhood and also broadcasting news that were damaging to national security. They are the TV network's Cairo bureau chief, Mohamed Fadel, and former BBC correspondent, Peter Crest. Observers say Egypt's media environment has been highly charged since Mohamed Morsi's overthrow. And world-famous Formula One champion Michael Schumacher is said to be in critical condition after a skiing accident. The manager, Subban Kim, said the 44-year-old German suffered serious brain trauma leading to a coma. He said the 7-times world champion was wearing a helmet when he fell and hit his head against a rock.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with factual, accurate and credible information. We are reliable.
The news now in detail. A conflict management and peace-building expert, Emmanuel Bombandi, has called for effective collaboration between the security agencies in the sub-region to counter increasing maritime insecurity. The partnership, he noted, should allow an efficient intelligence monitoring and information gathering to increase the potential of the security agencies to mitigate any situation that could lead to a major security threat. Mr. Bombandi stated this in an interview with Radio Ghana.
I have always argued that in our immediate neighborhood, once the threats of security are prevalent in these countries, it is also a case in which we have to worry. Because security today, in terms of its global nature and character, does not respect borders. And because it does not respect borders, it crosses these borders into even areas that are considered very peaceful. And that is why we must continue to see the type of collaboration between our security agencies and our neighboring countries. And that type of collaboration even extends beyond our neighborhood to the international level, in which the partnership can allow an efficient intelligence monitoring and gathering that now increases the potential of our security agencies to mitigate any situation that could then become a major security threat. I think they need to pay attention particularly to this area in which, as you and I are in this conversation, maritime security as a threat has increased tremendously. We are happy that our Navy has been singled out as the best Navy in West Africa, but there is also the threat of violent extremism from the north. So as you can see, we are in the middle. From the Gulf of Guinea, there is maritime insecurity. But from the Sahel, there is also violent extremism and terrorism. And all this can weigh in our geographical space in terms of the dynamics that are prevalent on the ground. And it is for this reason that it doesn't matter what challenge we have in Ghana. When we create the impression outside that the house is divided and that we hate each other and we are intolerant towards one another, that is when miscreants and violent extremists take advantage and infiltrate and use that as the weakness to be able to bring a situation that is an insecurity situation that we do not like. And I have always advocated for a human security approach as a global governance mechanism.
That was the conflict management and peace building expert, Emmanuel Bombandi.
Panelist on GTV's current affairs program Talking Point will discuss management of the petroleum fund. See, the review of the petroleum law is to ensure transparency and efficient management of the fund. They agree that though the current regulatory measures ensure proper disbursement of the fund, there are grey areas that need to be patched up. The chairman of the Public Interest and Accountability Committee, Major Daniel Ablakwaku, believes Ghana will be winner if the law is reviewed.
Well, inconsistencies in the law is no big deal, really. When you pass a law, initially, you have a certain perspective. You have a certain objective why you pass the law. As you operate the law, you may realize that sometimes even the language which has been used in crafting the various sections of the or the provisions, you find out that the language is not exactly what you intend to be used for action. And so if that happens, then you obviously may want to amend the language a little bit in order to get more precise with the language. Sometimes too, you also find that maybe just a few years down the line, you realize that some of the issues that were current at the time that you formulated that may no longer be relevant or may have gone down on the list of priority. And when that happens again, you need to take a second look and have to amend those portions that require amendment.
That was the chairman of the Public Interest and Accountability Committee, Major Daniel Ablakwaku. A representative of the Ministry of Finance, Kwame Nabuaduk Oku Afari, asked Ghanaians to assist in identifying loopholes in the law to enable the ministry to present a comprehensive document to cabinet for consideration and approval.
Sometimes also we try as much as possible to find a very acceptable way that will not jeopardize the implementation of the law. Let me say that we've taken a lot of comments that are on observation that have come from the Public Interest and Accountability Committee. They've done, I think, about 3 reports, and there have been some semi-annual reports as well. Some of the issues we've taken, let me say that some of them we've not taken because that is the view of the BIAC, and because we sometimes want to go strictly by the law, we take the law as it is and try to implement it. And in doing so, we've encountered some difficulties, and that's why we are soliciting for the help of the public to help us to iron out any problem areas that we have listed some. If you take the 2014 budget, we've listed some of them. They may not be exhaustive.
The acting director of the legal department of the Ministry of Finance, Mango Wagani, said there are inconsistencies in the current law.
One of the primary inconsistencies is that Section 7.1 of the law, for example, states that Section 2 and then 7.1 of the law state that all petroleum revenue must go into the petroleum holding fund. That is the gross of petroleum, the implication being that the gross of all petroleum revenue, as defined in the law, must go into the petroleum holding fund. But then Section 7.2 then goes on to say that the money that goes into the petroleum holding fund shall be net of equity financing costs and carried and participating in, interest that is ceded to the national oil company. So there you see a conflict, because Section 1 is talking about gross receipts and then Section 2 is saying net receipts. So in practice, it became a little difficult because the expectation is that all revenue should go into the petroleum holding fund before there's any distribution. But then GNPC then says that, look, it says it should be net of what we get and what the equity financing, you know. So this is a major contradiction that needs to be rationalized. Yes. And also, for example, with the PIAC, the membership of the PIAC, the written law says the membership of PIAC should be 11. But then when you count the number of institutions assigned members of PIAC, you find 13.
That was the acting director of the legal department of the Ministry of Finance, Mangua Ghani.
And now moving on, the crisis in Libya, South Sudan, and other oil-producing countries has raised the oil price to more than $100 a barrel. The price hike may affect lower and middle-income countries in the new year if efforts are not immediately made to change the trend. Radio Ghana saw the views of an international relations expert, Daniel Kondo, on the implications of instability in Libya and South Sudan on third world countries like Ghana. He spoke to George Anker.
Ghana is part of the world. I would want to look at it from a global perspective first. In the wake of this crisis, the Saudi oil minister, Ali Naimi, said that the OPEC oil cartel was ready to offset any shortfall by the crisis in Libya. But we cannot rule out the fact that Libya's oil has low sulfur and is of a higher quality, and so it is of a higher demand. And definitely, this is what has shot up the crisis all over the world. I'm not an oil expert, and I would not want to say that it will affect or not affect Ghana. But I know all crises related to oil production anywhere in the world has always had that rippling effect where it has affected everybody. And so I would want to believe that Ghana could be affected, but not in the short term, given the assurances of Ali Naimi, the Saudi oil minister, that there is already some amount of supply, and that supply is not in a shortfall presently. But in the long term, if the crisis do not end soon, it could have a long-term effect, and that could affect Ghana as well.
I know we are also drilling some oil, but yes, it is not enough to cater for our requirements. In the event of, like you earlier on said, the crisis extending further, what are we supposed to expect?
I don't know the level of talk right now, but I think precautionary measures will have to be taken to boost the stock right now for the future. And I'm sure those at the other end, that's the managers of our oil, are seeing into this, and they are going to take the necessary precautionary measures to offset whatever consequences this crisis could lead us to.
Mr. Kondo also looked at global insecurity and peace efforts by major powers.
Global peace is really hinged on global efforts, as on the collective efforts of the international community, all of us included. So whatever measures that would have to be taken by one country that is affected by these issues would have to be supported by the international community at all times. If you look at the situation in South Sudan, for example, I think it is just in the interest of everybody, that the whole world, to see to it that diplomatic engagements are stepped up to facilitate a political resolution to the crisis in that country, that is South Sudan. And the Nigerian issue, it seems it's been localized too much because of its nature. But if we take Mali and then we take the Central African Republic, we see a lot of global initiatives, be it on the basis of individual countries that have the capacity, such as France in the Central African Republic and previously in Mali, with the engagement of African troops there. But I think this is how we have to tackle the situation of security globally.
Daniel Kondo is an international relations expert. The chief executive officer of the Consumer Protection Agency, Kofi Kapito, says without standards, whatever people do will be meaningless. Speaking to Radio Ghana on the value of standards, Mr. Kapito urged Ghanaians to uphold standards in all they do to develop the country.
In life, you don't have anything to compare or actually put yourself next to see whether you are better than the person or you are worse off than the person, then you have a very difficult challenge. And that is what I see about the way we've been looking at standards in Ghana.
So what will you want to tell the people of Ghana about the value of standards?
Standard is very, very important, whereby it gives you a certain specific expectations, whether you are going to purchase raw materials for your construction, you're going to buy food or any other consumable goods, or even going to get basic service delivery. All those things are, that's why people go through training, people have expertise in terms of what. Look, let me tell you what, one thing that Ghana, even when it comes to standardization, that we are not even looking at, which is very, very challenging to us, is what is referred to as weight and measures. The weight and measures as to where people are still using the loan car, people are still using butter cans as to a way to measure. You don't know the exact weight that you are getting. But in the rest of the market outside Ghana, even just in Burkina Faso, if you go there, everything that has to be measured is put on scale. Why is it that in Ghana, you go to the market, you go and buy onions, tomatoes, and it's put in some plastic container. You don't know whether the weight that you are getting is accurate. They say, oh, this is a Olunka 20 cedis, whether it's a kilo or a kilo and a half or half a kilo. You don't even know. So I would urge Ghanaians that we should push for proper standardization. I'm not saying that we don't have standards that we use in Ghana. Unfortunately, the standard we use is called the ISO. Everything is against the international standard order. But the question is, what about Ghana's own standards? Everywhere in the world, the Europeans, the North Americans, the Asians, everybody has their standards. The reason being is if you even buy a car that you say you're taking the car to Europe, the air condition is not the same as a car which is coming to the tropical countries like Ghana and, let's say, the Middle East. That is why they've actually divided the market of the world into Europe, North America, Africa, and Middle East. So we need to find our own standard. They say, listen, yes, we do like the ISO standard. But in Ghana, based on our conditions, based on our behavior, based on our customs and culture, we would like to push our own standard to a certain level.
Kofi Kapito is the Chief Executive Officer of the Consumer Protection Agency.
And away from that, following the call by the Metropolitan Archbishop of Kumasi, the Most Reverend Gilbert Yao Anochi, for a review of prisoner training to avoid re-offending by discharged inmates, the Ghana Prison Service says though the call is welcome, the service is already on course implementing interventions in that direction. The Public Relations Officer of the service, Vitalis Aye, tells Radio Ghana more about the interventions.
The Catholic Church in Kumasi has a ritual of visiting the Kumasi Central Prisons every 26th of December. And as the Bishop has appropriately put it, we need to review a lot of things in the prison system in Ghana, bearing in mind that what we inherited from a colonial master since independence, nothing much has been done. That is the reason why the current administration is striving very hard to put mechanisms in place that will ensure that prisoners who come into our custody, they get out better than they came in. So the call is in place, and there are really measures put in place to ensure this happens. As I speak to you, there's a bill in Parliament. If it is passed, if it is ascended to, a lot of things will change in the prison system.
What is going to change?
For example, if the bill passes through and then we are asked to have what we call suspended sentences and non-custodial sentences, it means that we're going to have less congestion in the prisons for petty crimes, which will give us the chance to classify our prisoners properly so that we can give them the needed training so that if you get a proper and appropriate training, you will not get back into crime. You won't get back into prison if you get out. We have the moral trainings as we talk about. We have pastors, we have imams, we have people in prison who give moral training. The other aspect is giving them skills. The skills are what we are trying to do. It's been a bit of a problem for us in the sense that the capital we need to do that is not there. Sometimes the space is not there. So if the prisons are less congested, people are not supposed to be imprisoned, are actually out there doing some work for government, for the state, instead of being incarcerated, to swell the numbers. I think it can work.
The pastors are there. They definitely have a responsibility of injecting morality into these prisoners. Yet, when some of these prisoners get out there, they do even worse than the things that brought them to prison. What could be responsible?
It would be really wrong to say that all of them, some will go back into crime. It's just like having a class or a set of candidates presented for a particular year in an exam. You teach them the same thing, it's not everybody that will pass. So as we speak, some of them will get a pass, others will not get a pass. It's like going to the mosque on Friday or going to church on Sunday. What the imam teaches at the mosque, what the pastor teaches in church, it's not all of us who imbibe it, who take it. We can't just have 100% of prisoners going out and not coming. I mean, we're all testimonies to people who have come to prison and they've gotten changed. They become pastors in their preaching, they become musicians and they're singing for us.
That was Public Relations Officer of the Ghana Prisons Service, Vitalis Aye.
Lack of water at the Boston Institute in Accra will now be a thing of the past. This follows the provision of a mechanized borehole by the Holy Ghost Temple Prisons Ministry, IGCG Fafraha. The chairman of the ministry, Lawrence Nuku, said the construction of the borehole is part of the church's contribution towards improving the lives of the inmate. The deputy director of prisons, Matilda Odru, asked Ghanaians to release feeding grants for the inmates.
The Senior Correctional Center, now referred to as the Ghana Boston Institute, is a correctional facility established for the unfortunate, deviant and traumatized young offenders of about 17 years and above. Its period of detention is determined by the court. Nevertheless, the longest period of detention is 3 years. It was established in May 1947 with the aim to save young offenders who, as a result of their exposure to moral and physical circumstances, have fallen victim to the unfriendly path of life. Deputy Director of Prisons, Matilda Odru, called on government to support the inmates.
Under normal circumstances, the government is supposed to release funds for the running of the institution, but unfortunately, the funds are not flowing. So, like the public, in all ways, it's a hope. Our boys are so young, this government can go out, they don't have any criminal record. Without money, nothing goes on. If you have money, I don't think you have a problem. You need to use your money to buy the food, but no money. So we always appeal to benefactors to help us.
The chairman of the ministry, Lawrence Nku, inaugurated the borehole as part of the ministry's obligation to the inmates.
Olivia Usufa, that report.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Effective partnership between security agencies to check maritime insecurity in West Africa advocated. Defense Minister hails performance of rural banks. Three Al Jazeera journalists arrested in Cairo, Egypt. And world-famous Formula One champion Michael Schumacher in critical condition after skiing accident. We are back after the break.
Radio Ghana. Meeting the news challenge with factual, accurate and credible information. We are reliable.
Welcome back. The Minister of Defense, Mark Oyungu, says the vibrancy in rural banking is a clear reflection of the quick economic recovery the country is experiencing. Pointers to sharp economic recovery, he said, is directly linked to the private sector, which has seen some positive growth, thereby taking center stage in the Better Ghana agenda. Mr. Oyungu was speaking at the 23rd annual general meeting of the Nara Rural Bank at Navrungu. He said the performance of the bank in 2012 was no mean achievement and advised the commercial entity to be wary of cyber crimes in order to protect the trust of customers and shareholders. The board chairman of the bank, Simple Aniba, said the bank made a net profit of 580,805 Ghana cedis, an increase of 3.3% over the last year. Mr. Aniba said the total asset of the bank also increased by 33.33%. He declared stakeholders approval to plough back proposed dividends of 280,429 as bonus share for them at Peswa per share to recapitalize the bank. The managing director of the ARB Apex Bank, Kwaju Ayekusi, said the bank will continue to embark on programs aimed at equipping staff of rural and community banks to meet customer needs. He said modern banking requires the provision of innovation in order to make the sector grow.
The Vagla Youth Association has established an education trust fund to support and promote the education of underprivileged but brilliant students in Vagla community. 4,500 Ghana cedis has been raised as seed capital for the fund. President of the association, Mrs. Fati Buduya Seydu, said this at the association's 10th National Congress at Tuna in the Northern Region. She said the association sees education as one of the surest ways to reducing poverty and enhancing holistic development. Correspondent Swala Abdul Wahab reports.
Established several decades ago, Vagla Youth Association, VAYA, comprises various ethnic groups around Bele Bamboi and Swala Tuna Kaga areas. The objectives of the association are to, among other things, promote peace, unity and development in the area in particular and the nation at large. Being mindful of these objectives, education, a tool for sustainable development, was therefore the focus of this year's National Congress of the Association. The National President, Mrs. Fati Buduya Seydu, elaborates more on why the Association establishes the Education Trust Fund.
The objectives and purpose of the National Education Trust Fund are to sponsor education of brilliant but needy students for senior high school education and progressively to tertiary levels based on various program interests. to offer logistical support to basic and secondary schools in Vaya communities as spelled out in the Vaya bylaws. To offer support to non-formal education activities. In the bylaws, we define non-formal education to mean literacy programs in languages of Vaya ethnic groups. To qualify to benefit from the fund, either a mother or a father or both should belong to one of the ethnic groups.
The Northern Regional Minister, Bid Zidin, commended Vaya for its foresight in establishing the fund. Mr. Zidin, whose address was read on his behalf by the DCE for Swallow Tuna Kalba, Alhaji Isaac Mumuni Dramani, said the government recognizes the contribution of the youth and will continue to give them the opportunity to contribute their quota to the development of the nation.
It is extremely important that the youth group or association normally endowed with energy and endowment are accorded the respect and space in the government of this area and in the country as we are witnessing under His Excellency John Dramani Mahama, who has found space in his government for every youth and talented man and woman.
Mr. Zidin entreated the Swallow Tuna Kalba district religious and traditional leaders in the area to engage the association in the pursuit of their developmental agenda.
Salah Abdulwahab reporter.
Church auditoriums in Accra were filled to capacity as Christians yesterday held church services to climax the Christmas festivities. According to our reporters who went round, the central theme of the sermons focused on the need for Ghanaians to show gratitude to the Almighty God for taking them through various challenges and seeing them through successfully. We bring you more on the details.
At the Kaneshi branch of the Apostolic Church Ghana, a retired national president of the church, Apostle John Annan Adote, said, even though the year 2013 was full of challenges, God was gracious to Ghanaians.
God has been gracious to this nation and to all of us. We are not strangers. We are aware of the election petition of 2012 and the trial throughout. And it took a long time, about 8 months, and then the verdict came out. This thing has sparked trouble in any other country. But for the goodness of the Lord, there's still peace and people are moving up and down, even though it has affected us economically and all that. But we are grateful to God that we are not refugees. That is why we are blessing God for what He has done. And I want Ghanaians to appreciate the hand of God in our life as Ghanaians. You know, they have taken things for granted, but it is the hand of God. When you look round West Africa, all around about us, there's chaos, one thing or the other. But we get to that point, but then you see that God steps in and everything is calm. So I would plead with Ghanaians that let us recognize God in our lives.
At the Assemblies of God Church Kanda, the resident pastor, Reverend Emmanuel Amenyenu, urged Christians to count their blessings, saying God has always been there for Ghanaians.
Many of us will have fallen into diverse kinds of things, but God has had mercy on us, and he has forgiven us. He has washed us with the precious blood of Jesus, and still we are His children. Some of us got sick, and God healed us. God redeemed us from destruction. Some of us, we are heading towards danger, but God delivered us. Some of us, we are under demonic oppression, but the mighty hand of God came mightily upon us, and we had our deliverance. Some of us, the Lord has crowned us with His love and His compassion, and He has satisfied us with good things.
Those were reports on church services held yesterday to climax the Christmas festivities.
Egyptian police have arrested three journalists working for Al Jazeera in the capital, Cairo. They include the TV network Cairo bureau chief Mohamed Fadel Fahmy and former BBC correspondent Peter Grest. The statement said the journalists had held illegal meetings with the banned Muslim Brotherhood. Observers say Egypt's media environment has been highly charged since Mr. Morsi's overthrow. Seven-time Formula One world champion Michael Schumacher is in a critical condition after a skiing accident. The 44-year-old German suffered serious brain trauma, leading to a coma. He has undergone a brain operation and is currently in critical condition. His manager, Sabine Kerr, said a 7-time world champion was wearing a helmet when he fell and hit his head against a rock. And now to end the news, the main points again. A conflict management and peace-building expert, Emmanuel Bombande, has asked security agencies in West Africa to step up intelligence gathering to mitigate the effects of rising maritime insecurity. Minister of Defense Mark Oyongo has hailed performance of rural banks in the economic growth of the country. 3 Al Jazeera journalists have been arrested in Cairo, Egypt, for allegedly holding illegal meetings with their banned Muslim Brotherhood. And 7-time Formula One champion Michael Schumacher is said to be in a critical condition after a skiing accident. The news was presented by Ibrahim Kwarteng
and George Asiku in Accra.